Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 161 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of August 4th, 2017. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me as always is glorious animated cutscene Dan Ryan.
If we do not play a little clip of Bobby Roode's theme song Glorious right at this moment, I'm going to be real upset.
Do you hear that, Evan? Do you hear that? That message is for you.
Bobby Roode, NXT, glorious.
Make it happen. Geekade's Pain in the Assathon is this weekend, so Dan and I thought it would be fun to discuss the games that everyone's going to be playing and how well we think they'll do. Actually, Dan and I didn't think it'd be fun. I said that's what we're doing, and Dan didn't give a shit.
I had no input on this. I wasn't asked. I would have been okay with it, because you are right. I have a decided lack of shits to give.
Before we talk about Dan's lack of shit any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello. We always want to hear from you, the listener. So, Dan, how the hell are you?
Oh, I'm okay, Chris. I'm all right. It was an interesting Puzzle and Dragons week. Some new cards came out that I was very excited to get. My daughter pulled a Yog-Sothoth, which is one of the Lovecraftian Godfest exclusives, and he's like one of the strongest fucking cards in the game. Like, it's just silly how overpowered this card is. But that was on my alt account and not my main account. My main account, however, did pull Cthugha, another one of the Lovecraftian monsters, so it was pretty exciting overall.
Well, that's a hoot.
I haven't had time for anything. Too much work.
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of time for game playing. I mean, I've played a little bit of Splatoon, because, I love playing Splatoon.
Sure.
And there was a news story on Kotaku that I really wanted to call out for being a particular piece of shit, which, I mean, honestly, this is Kotaku we're talking about, so it's not like it's hard to call their work a piece of shit sometimes. Here we go. So far, Nintendo's arms does not have legs. And I'm pretty sure this article was an excuse to write that pun.
It's not bad. I missed that one. I don't know how I missed it, but that's funny.
I believe I've said it on the show before, but and I think you laughed at it, but that's okay.
I've been drinking, Chris. I usually do. Most of this is just through a haze.
You don't need to explain it. We all know.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good.
So this is the part of it. It's basically saying, like, ARMS is like a one-trick pony. It's
sure.
Yeah, it sold, like, you know, over a million copies already, and it's a pretty big success. But nobody's talking about it anymore, like, the week after Splatoon 2 came out. So, yeah, no, nobody's really talking about ARMS right now, because Splatoon's the big thing. But their complaint about the long-term, how this game really just doesn't have any long-term playability, and I quote, "But in the end, ARMS Fighters' only moves are punching, blocking, dodging, and throwing." So basically every fighting game ever.
Every fighting game minus the kicking.
Yeah, minus the kicking. Oh, so you can only do the things that you do in fighting games? Clearly this doesn't have.
What a piece of shit. How dare they? Oh, Nintendo's supposed to be innovative. And no, they're just like, oh, we're going to take away an option to strike your opponent. How's that for innovation, you fuckers? Take it and like it. I bet you Mario's going to be in it sometime soon.
Ah. Seriously.
Or Waluigi, look, I mean, instead of punching you with his arm, he'll punch you with his long-ass mustache, which would be fucking awesome.
Oh my god, that is the best idea ever. Waluigi with a couple of boxing gloves on the end of his mustache.
Yep, make it happen. You're welcome.
I fucking love this idea.
You're welcome, Nintendo. Best idea ever.
I mean, they already said that they've got new character DLC coming, and it's all going to be free like Splatoon was. So, yeah, of course nobody's talking about it right now. It's just, the headline struck me as just so particularly like, you know what I want to do? I feel like bashing Nintendo right now. And what a piece of shit of an article. Like, you could,
yeah,
this game is so limited by being a fighting game. Like, that's what it is, you jackass.
The only thing you can do in Tetris is make the blocks go in a circle and then down. Ugh.
And then, next article that popped, like minutes later, the next article that popped up on Kotaku was talking about how Earthworm Jim's a piece of shit. So a week ago, I swear to God, I think it was Kotaku that made, a case for Cars 2 being a really good movie.
No, Cars 3. The newest Cars one 3? That's out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think. Or maybe it was Cars 2. I don't know.
It doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't matter.
I had to call this out, just the sheer idiocy of complaining that this is a fighting game. I still dig it. You know, I'm not doing any online matches because I'm not great at it, but I'm still only able to hold my own in level 4 matches, level 4 out of 10. And, you know, I'm playing Splatoon, but I'm going to get back to playing ARMS as soon as there's more DLC for it.
Got
to
get good.
Gotta get good.
Gotta
so
get
far,
good,
I'm
Chris.
Just aight.
Aight.
I got aight. I didn't get good.
Oh, God damn it. That's such a
Other
Jersey.
Than that, my,
such
yeah,
a Jersey
Jesus.
Philly thing. Aight.
I did spend all of last weekend, actually all of Saturday, or was it Sunday? It was Sunday with our good friend Matt Much, and he was working on my computer and fixing things up, so it runs pretty well now. But we also spent a decent chunk of time with the Raspberry Pi.
Did he get the controller working?
Wireless controllers still do not work on it.
Wow.
We cannot figure out why. There's got to be something in the image that I downloaded for it. It has to be.
Is it possible that your wireless controller... Oh, no, because you said it works on the menu.
Yeah, it works.
I was
going to
say,
connects.
Is it possible it's just broken? I don't understand why it'll work.
God, we tried several different controllers. They'll sync, they'll be great, and then as soon as you boot up a game, you just have no directional control. And it's just got to be something in the image related to the way these ROMs are coded or something. There's just got to be something in there that is incorrect. So I'm going to wipe the whole damn thing and start from scratch next time I have time. But we spent a long time figuring stuff out on there, and I eventually did get it to start doing a few things that it wasn't doing. Like, it wasn't doing Famicom Disk System games, and now it does, and that made me really happy because I finally got to play a little bit of the Disk System version of Zelda 2, which I've always wanted to mess with. Because it's, it's just got these weird little differences, like the water on the map screen animates, and the music is pretty different. It was pretty neato.
That's fun.
Tis fun. I was happy with it.
Have you tried punching it?
I have. I've tried punching and kicking it, yeah. Mm. And also punching and kicking the air around it, just generally being mad. I have cursed at it. I've talked sweetly to it.
And, I'm fresh out of shit then. I'm sorry, Chris.
Yeah, I'm all out of options here. But the bulk of my week has been planning for the Pain in the Ass-a-thon, which, as you've heard us mention on the show before, is the 24-hour live stream that we're doing this weekend, teamed up with the Colon Cancer Alliance, and we're all going to be playing Pain in the Ass video games for charity. So we'll be taking donations. In fact, we are taking donations right now. They are live as of Tuesday this week. So if you want to jump in early and throw some donations our way, we would greatly, 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 greatly appreciate it. Our overall goal this year is $3,000. Last year we hit $2,600, so I'm hoping we can do a little bit better this year. Granted, 1,000 of those dollars came from Stone Age Gamer, who have once again agreed to match up to $1,000. So if we make $1,000, they will donate $1,000. If we only make $500, they'll donate $500. But they'll match donations up to $1,000. And so that gets us two-thirds of the way there. If we hit $1,000, they give us $1,000. We're already two-thirds of the way. So,
which isn't bad. I mean,
yeah, not bad. I mean, you know, at the end overall, of the day, it doesn't really matter how we get it. It's all for raising money for the Colon Cancer Alliance.
I mean, I think it matters a little bit how we get it. There's a couple ways
I
we
guess.
Probably shouldn't get it, but
we probably shouldn't be out there breaking thumbs. But really,
I mean,
nobody's intimidated by us.
That's not
especially
true.
Especially me.
Especially you, but the first time you meet me, I'm relatively intimidating.
That's true. I mean, you are an intimidating character.
I mean, then
probably
then I open my mouth and people go, "Oh, he's a fucking goofball." Like, and then the mystique
I just want to hug him.
The mystique is totally gone at that point. But like at first,
if you're scowling and smoking or wearing a hat of some sort,
yeah,
or even a hoodie,
Maybe I'll wear a hoodie to the live stream.
You should definitely should. So what we're going to do is we're going to run down the list of games that everybody's playing, and we're going to talk a little bit about the people playing them and why we think the games are a pain in the ass and how we think everyone's going to do. So,
spoilers, not well.
Not well.
No.
I mean, no.
Except for you
and me. I don't have extreme high hopes for a lot of this as far as completion, but I do have pretty high hopes for a lot of it being fun. So the first game, first up, is from at 10 a.m., from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., 12 noon, as they call it, is going to be me and Evan. Evan from the This Week's Episode podcast and just Geekade in general. And the two of us are going to play Contra for NES for 2 hours.
Which is a long time to play that game.
Yeah, it is a long time to play that game, and I think we're going to need it. Because here's the deal. I have set some rules in place. We're not going to use the Konami code for the first hour.
That's going to be a very frustrating hour.
Evan has not played this game in like 20 years, and I haven't played it in a while. I'm pretty sure my muscle memory is going to be okay as far as like I used to be able to beat this game on like one or two continues, but without the code.
Yeah.
So I feel confident that I should still be able to do okay. But the other rule I put in place was that one of us can't beat a level without the other. So if Evan dies 4 inches into the level, I can't beat it without him.
So when Evan dies 4 inches into the level is what you're saying. That's,
now, Evan
that's
says
pretty tough,
that,
man.
It's going to be pretty tough. I'm probably going to play fast and loose with that rule at some point.
I would have to imagine you would.
Evan has been practicing a little bit, which I told him not to, but he said he didn't want to embarrass himself too much. And, so he said he's messed around with it for the last couple of days. He cannot get past the waterfall stage. Sometimes he can't even get past stage one, but, he cannot get past stage three. Just that's as far as he's gotten.
Not a good sign, and Chris.
I suspect that that stage is going to be where we die the most. Any of those vertical stages, it's going to be real tough to get him from the bottom to the top.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. That is not a good sign, my friend.
But, 2 hours of this, two solid hours of just...
Oh, goodness.
I am expecting some real good rage out of Evan. I feel that during this experience, I'm going to be pretty...
yeah.
Sorry. I just got a... So Evan right now is editing this week's episode of this week's episode. And he's offering me choices in episode titles, which are right now, Danny is Blandy or Bologna is All the Meats.
I like Bologna is All the Meats.
I like it too. He was criticizing somebody's sandwich choice. And and he was over here when we moved. And he was criticizing sandwich choices. And when he was here, we went to this really great sub shop here. Mm-hmm. And he ordered bologna and salami with like bologna and salami dry with American cheese on a roll. That was it.
Evan never gets to criticize anyone's sandwich choice ever again.
The
only way that that could possibly be worse is if he put Miracle Whip on it. Because I know how you, I know how you feel about mayonnaise, but dude,
and I feel even worse about Miracle Whip. Like,
you should.
Mayonnaise, the realer it is, the more tolerable it is. But holy crap, we're going Miracle Whip. That's just That's imitation evil. That's like insultingly evil. You know, at least regular mayonnaise is an evil I can respect. By the way, the current Splatfest in Splatoon 2 is ketchup versus mayonnaise.
I saw that. That's kind of funny.
I am staunchly team ketchup, and not just because mayonnaise is horrible, because, like, all right, so in the original Splatoon, you had those two characters, Callie and Mari?
Yeah.
Well, you've got these two new characters in this one, because, you know, it takes place a few years later, and that's how pop stars go. So they've got these new two pop stars, and one of them is a really likable character, and the other one is this spoiled brat with vampire teeth that
nice.
Just is awful, and so she's team mayonnaise. And then the cool girl is Team Ketchup. So, yeah, fuck yeah. Team Ketchup all the way. Anyway, back to where we're going. Back
Contra.
To Contra. Contra.
Contra, purely
so how,
on Team
how far
mayonnaise.
Do you think Evan and I are going to get in Contra?
Oh, goodness. Christ. I think the waterfall stage might be a stumbling block. I think with 2 hours...
Two solid hours.
And you being there to coach him through it? I think you guys will get through it.
Do you now?
I do. Contra's not hard.
It's kind of hard. There's some timing. Like,
okay,
I'm talking about the brown stage and towards the end of the game where there's all the spiky walls that come out of the floor and little spiky things coming down from the ceiling. Like, that involves some timing. You know, that's
even
Contra's
that, though,
a lot
like,
of memorization. It's true.
Once
I feel
you
like
hit, once you hit the second hour and you put in the Konami code, you're fine.
Yeah, I think it might be doable at that point, but that really all depends on Evan's. See, Evan's a real wild card here. I have no idea what he's going to be able to do in Contra and how far his anger is going to take him. Because I feel like at a certain point, he's going to be so mad at the game that he's not going to want to learn anymore.
Mm.
But I do have good news. Dean and I sat down and figured out backup games for every single one of these games in case we finish them.
Okay. So when you and I speedrun the next game in 15 minutes... Because that's gonna happen.
Yeah, keep dreaming. But yes, if we finish this, I forget which one I told Dean to put on his system, and obviously he should have both of them anyway. But we're either gonna move on to Super Contra or Contra 3: The Alien Wars. I kind of want it to be Contra 3: The Alien Wars because that's way harder than Super Contra.
Yeah, it really, really is. Super Contra, they kind of they dialed it down a little bit.
Yeah, just it's not even like they dialed down the difficulty. They just made the weapons not suck.
Yeah.
Like, the flamethrower is freaking fantastic in that game.
Yeah.
It's just like, now you don't shoot these slow-ass little twirly ball things. Now you just shoot giant fireballs that explode when they hit something.
Which is
Yay.
Great. That's what
it is great. Yeah,
what I want my fireballs to do.
And but Contra 3 is so good.
Mm-hmm.
I love Contra 3.
Mm.
So yeah, I don't know that we're gonna finish it, but I'd like to hope that in 2 hours of me playing this game with Evan, that we'll be able to blow through it.
Now, are you gonna allow a substitute gamer? Like, if Evan punches out and punches through the fucking television screen. No, nobody's allowed to hop in.
If Evan actually like flat out refuses to keep going, like to the point where he's, you know, his fist is bleeding because he's done something horrible or he's murdered me, which is also a distinct possibility, he might just murder me in a fit of rage. I'm kind of fragile. I'm not gonna lie to you. If he punches me with his full force, he'll probably put a hole in me.
He might. He's a lot
Evan's
bigger than you.
He's a big guy. He's a pretty strong guy. He's a pretty strong dude. So if that is the case, if one of us dies or is just physically incapable of carrying on, I would allow.
Mm.
I would allow.
Okay.
Somebody else.
All right.
So moving on to the next game. Let's see here. From 12 noon to 3 p.m., 3 hours, Dan and I... we'll be attacking Comic Zone for Sega Genesis.
We're going to fucking need it too, man.
It's not going to happen.
It is.
I can't imagine a world where I get good enough, or either one of us gets good enough at this game to finish it.
It's going
to
happen, Chris.
This game is so freaking difficult. Like, just unfair.
It's unfairly hard.
It really is.
Like, it is.
It is mean. It is mean-spirited. It actively hates you. In ways that, like, people always talk about games just like, oh, this game is so friggin' hard. This game's ridiculously hard. Like Ghosts and Goblins or Super Ghouls and Ghosts. Like, there's a certain logic to those games. Like, yes, right, they're absolutely ridiculous, but you know the rules, and the rules make a certain degree of sense. You get hit by something, you take damage. End of story. Comic Zone is like, well, everything hurts you, even the good stuff. So, yeah. There are barrels in your way. You need to break those barrels. Every time you hit one, you're going to lose some health.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And really, fuck you, game. What do you mean? I have to figure out a way to get through these barrels by breaking as few of them, hitting them as few times as possible, because this, like Double Dragon 3, is a one-life experience. You get one shot. So the way I look at this is the two of us,
happen, Chris.
The two of us are just going to go back and forth. Like, you take a turn, then I'll take a turn. And, you know, we go until it's a game over, and that's that.
Like when we were kids, we're going to do lives or levels.
Lives or levels. Yep. Lives that's or levels. A good plan.
Yep. So lives.
Holy crap.
Pretty much.
Yes. So lives. Yeah. Look, I can beat level 1 pretty soundly, and I can beat level 2 most of the time. I think the farthest I've gotten in the game is level 4. I have no earthly idea how long this is.
I think it's only 5 levels.
Really?
I think. Oh, God. I can't remember. I think it's 5 levels. Maybe 6. I don't know. It's not fair. It's just not
fair. Yeah, it's not fair, and I just don't see it. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we are going to try, God damn it.
Yeah, well, we got 3 hours, Chris. So, you know, like, it's another game that's just very much about memorization. You know what I mean? Like, there's a way to progress through the game where, like, you can skip certain like encounters and like maybe you'll live a little bit longer, and like you don't have to break every barrel, and you have a rat, so that's the thing.
It was criticized for being too hard and too short, so maybe it isn't that long.
Comic Zone. So the game being criticized for being too hard and too short.
Yeah, but it does only have 6 levels.
Six levels, okay.
I guess it is possible. It's technically possible.
It's really not.
Well, at the request of several people, if we do finish this, the game that we have to follow it up with is Echo the Dolphin.
Oh, motherfucker, we are not finishing this game on purpose. I'm going to get... Oh, no! No.
It's for charity, Dan.
I don't even care. Whatever. That's fine.
You can just sit and criticize it while I play.
Oh, God, will I. I hate that game so much. It's the dumbest game ever made. It's so fucking stupid. I'm a dolphin and I jump. Woo!
Oh, don't forget the noise you make. And there's crystals, Dan. Crystals.
I
think there's a spaceship at some point.
Jesus, I will fucking read you a guide so you can play it. We're not finishing Comic Zone.
Yeah, that's the thing. If I thought for a minute that we'd actually finish Comic Zone in 3 hours, then I think Dean and I tried to finish Comic Zone on a stream once, and I think it went for like an hour and a half, and we didn't get anywhere. So twice that time, I just don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I'm going to put in a little bit of practice. I'm not going to put in too much practice because I want it to be organically fucking shitty, but...
Because that is the point.
It is
supposed to be a pain in the ass.
But I haven't played this game in forever. Like, I need
That's the thing. I've played this game pretty recently.
Yesterday.
We were playing it at Garden State Comic Fest. We set up at the booth, and we just sat there and played Comic Zone for a while. Me and Dean. It was terrible.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I love this game.
It's
I
so
love
cool.
this game. It is How did they not make a sequel to this game? How did this not get anywhere?
Everyone hates it.
Because it's just freaking
it's
mean.
It's impossible.
But you know what? Battletoads got sequels, and that game's impossible.
That's true. But Battletoads, you could at least Game Genie your way through. I mean, I suppose you could Game Genie your way through this.
It was a Game Genie for Genesis. Yo, you want to hear something really weird? And I didn't know this existed. There's a Game Boy Advance port of Comic Zone that was released in Europe.
Really?
Yeah, it showed up on my my Raspberry Pi. I was poking through the Game Boy Advance game. It was like, Comic Zone?
Is it any
and
easier?
I loaded it up. No, no. It's pretty similar, you know, just kind of pared down and a little uglier because it's Game Boy Advance. But
sure.
It was, yeah, it was weird. Very unsettling.
All right, I mean we're gonna give it a go, Chris.
We're gonna give it the old college try.
3 hours is a long time.
Yes, it is. All right, next up on the list. After that, from 3 to 4, I continue to play games because I don't know. I apparently hate myself. I just wanted to keep playing games from the start.
You're bad at scheduling. That's your problem.
Me and Ferg from the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast, who will be joining us live in person.
Which is so exciting.
I'm so super stoked for that, and him to also still be there from 5 to 7, which we'll get to in a bit.
Ferg, holla. Holla bread. I need it. I need some Ferg bread in my life. Please. Please, Ferg.
Oh, good Lord.
Do you understand, and does Ferg understand how upset Tiffany will be if I go to a place where Ferg is personally there and I don't come back with bread?
What do you mean come back with bread? You think he's going to bring bread that we're not going to eat?
Yes, I got to bring some for Tiff. Do you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get divorced, Chris. Not counseling. Fucking divorced.
You think there's going to be delicious food in Evan's house when a bunch of us idiots are going to be there playing games for 24 fucking hours and it's going to survive?
Yes, because Ferg is going to bring a special loaf just for Tiff.
A special loaf just for Tiff.
Special loaf just for Tiff.
Well, anyway,
I really
Ferg
hope he
listens
to this on Friday.
I hope so, too. Ferg and I are going to be playing Sneak and Peek for Atari 2600, which is a game that I have never played before. But as Ferg described it to me, it is basically hide and seek for Atari 2600. I'm not sure
how that works.
I'm not sure how that works either. Like, do I have to leave the room?
I hope so.
And I don't know how this is going to work. And he is the one who suggested the Sword Quest game last year
for me. So bad.
Which was absolutely awful.
Yeah,
which, I mean, I knew that going in.
Yeah.
And it was a great choice for the Petathon because it was a complete pain in the ass to play.
Mm-hmm.
So I have some pretty high hopes for this. Not knowing much about the game, I don't know how to say how far we will get. Is there a progression in this game?
I have no
idea.
What
do you even do in a hide-and-go-seek video game for Atari?
I don't know. I mean, like, have you watched anything about this?
No. Like, I've purposely avoided it. The only thing I know about it, and I listened to the episode that he did on his show about this, but it was a long time ago, and I remembered, like, nothing about it.
Yeah. It's weird, man.
I am excited. That's the other thing. Ferg is going to be there for the bulk of the day, so he's probably going to be around while we're playing Comic Zone, might even be around while we're playing Contra, and he's going to stick around for a while after that. Like, this is kind of his day. He's on his way to somewhere else, and he's going to hang out at Evan's house for several hours with us, which I am so excited about.
I think we should have a Ferg button where, like, we can tag Ferg in if we need a break.
Yeah. It's we got to think of a good name for it. But yes, we should be able to tag Ferg in at any given moment,
like,
for any given game.
If somebody presses, like, the Fergatron 3000, Ferg has to play for, like, 10 minutes or something.
I'm calling my Ferg line.
there's a much better joke in here somewhere. I'm not sure where
it is,
but goddammit, there's one in here.
I completely missed it, but... So if you're somehow, like, if you're new to this show, like, I don't know if we get new listeners or if you've never listened to Ferg before, he is just this wonderfully jovial personality, and he's got a great laugh. And we also have this other guy named Genghis who works for Geekade, who does the You Shall Not Pass Go podcast, who also has a very infectious laugh, a very different infectious laugh. But getting those two in the same room at the same time laughing at something is going to be an experience.
It should be a good time.
I am so excited about this particular bit, because I've never actually played an Atari game with Ferg before, which I'm pretty stoked about. And if by some chance we get completely, totally tapped out of joy and or entertaining things to do with hide and seek, the backup game for this is Combat. Oh. Because I've always wanted to play Combat with Ferg, and I think that'll be super fun.
Well, bucket list, man.
It's also something that I want to be able to do with Ferg. It probably won't be on the show, but Ferg doesn't have a smartphone, so he hasn't gotten to try Space Invader, Arkanoid versus Space Invaders yet, which I think he'll really love because it's fantastic.
Yeah.
So I hope to be able to show him that at some point. Also, if possible, I'd love to be able to, I really want to play Overcooked with Ferg at some point because I freaking love that game. That's the thing I should have mentioned at the beginning, top of the show. Overcooked finally came out on Switch. Me and Karen played it for like one night, and it was absolutely outstanding. That game's amazing.
Well, all right,
download
then.
It, Dan.
All right, do it. I'll get there.
All right, next up, Dan. 4 to 5 p.m. It's a Paper Cuts reunion.
That's right.
With Dan, Dean, and Mr. Matt Much all playing Puzzle and Dragons. Dan, tell us about what it is you're doing.
Well, see, they introduced probably like 6 to 8 months ago, at this point, multiplayer in Puzzle and Dragons, and that introduction made a lot of dungeons in the game that were previously relatively difficult to clear because of certain spawns or just you didn't have the right stuff on your team or whatever. It made them way easy. Because now, all of a sudden, you could partner up with somebody and all of your stats doubled. Like, you shared health and you shared actives and skill boosts and just all the different stuff. It made shit really easy. So then, they put in a three-player mode where you don't share actives. Where you go in with just your team, like you were playing solo mode. But basically, what it does is, it's basically like playing solo mode with three people and you share the board. Very few things cross over. Like if we're playing, if I have a team that has full skill bind resistance, which means I can't use my, like, you have to have 5 skill bind resistance. Because again, this is an RPG style game too. So, you know, to use your active skills, if you get bound, you can't use them. Most of the binds come in their 99 turns. So if one person out of the three of you does not have full SBR and they get skill bound, all three people get skill bound, which pretty much means your run's over at that point. Like, if you can't use an active skill, it would be like if you're playing a Final Fantasy game and you get up to the final boss and you can't use Meteora, and it's like, well, okay, I'm not going to be able to ping you down enough, like just with a little choo-choo, like I can't just tap you with my sword twice for the next 7 years. Like, that's just not going to work. So, like, that kind of makes it a pain in the ass because that's shared across things. But, like, if somebody puts up a shield to prevent some damage, that's shared across all three players. But what really makes these dungeons a pain in the ass is that, like, you wrote it up on the website, and for those of you who haven't read the website, there's a card in Puzzle and Dragons, Light Metatron, and Dark Metatron to a lesser extent, but Light Metatron had been a joke for like a year and a half, because it was a card that had gotten buff after buff after buff. Like, it was always like, we're giving it this much more health, and this much more attack, and this much more recovery, and another awakening, and we lowered its active skill, and it sucked. Like, the card, it was just a shitty card. It was buffed more than any other card, but it was still shitty. So in the three-player arena, they took the shittiest card and gave it just the most defense in the world. Like, you can do damn near 10 million damage per card, and it'll take away 1 hit point. Fuck you.
Yikes.
fuck you. So like, so now this card that was just a joke for a year and a half is now this gatekeeper. That, I mean, obviously there are ways around, and if we do this correctly and we bring the right stuff and everybody survives, we should be able to get through it. But what's going to be fun about it is that Matt, Mr. Matt Much, has not been preparing for this at all. I don't know how much Dean has been preparing for this. I mean, we've done some things together, but not what we're going to be doing here in three player. And like, I've gotten through the dungeon a few times with playing with other people, but Matt's going to get nervous. Like, we know this, and that's going to be fun. I'm probably going to get nervous and fuck shit up at that point. It's going to be a pain in the ass. It's going to be a pain in the ass to get through these dungeons, or at least to try and get through three-player arena. Because, look, the other three-player, the Cosmic Trinity, where they added these three Lovecraft bosses, there's no fucking way. We're not getting through it. I didn't pull Yog-Sothoth this weekend on my main account, so we're not getting through it this weekend. I spent 75 stones, so that's, you know, a good chunk of rolls. It's 5 stones per roll. I spent a good chunk of rolls trying to get Yog-Sothoth so we could try and get through that, but it did not happen. And my alt account is nowhere near capable of getting through that, so... It's gonna be fun.
That sounds like a hoot, because I have little to no experience with PAD, so I'm expecting me and Ferg to be sitting on the couch next to you guys, just heckling, like, just heckling and/or laughing.
It should be a good time. And like, what's gonna be even weirder about it is that you'll only get to see one of the phones, you know, like one screen will be displayed. So like, you'll get to watch what it's like when you play with other people, because like, orbs just move on your screen and you're like, oh fuck, this person's so much better than me. Like, that's usually how I feel when I play through this game. Like, I watch people doing shit and I go, oh god, you're like, that's way better. Son of a bitch, I should do that. And then I try and do it and I can't.
Are you saying that you should get good?
I should get good. 700.
It's git. G-I-T-G-U-D.
I don't live in the South anymore, sir. I will say get good. Thank you. I'm fairly confident we'll be able to get through it. Like, really, Dean and I can handle the bulk of the work. Matt needs to really stay alive to help us out with the, like, in the support role of the, you know, like, team building, thinking about it, you know what I mean? Like, Matt's going to be there, and he has good enough teams to be able to do some significant damage on some of the floors, and he should be able to sweep a couple floors and whatnot, but we really need him to have his defense break ready, or else we're just not going to do enough damage. I don't have the shit to do it. I've tried.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching that.
It should be fun. I don't know what we're going to do if we get tired of that, though. I mean, we've only got an hour, but I don't have a backup game. Maybe we'll play Flappy Bird for a little bit. That game's a fucking pain in the ass. Tell you what.
Sold. Sold. You're playing Flappy Bird. If you finish Puzzle and Dragons before the hour is up, you're playing Flappy Bird for the remainder of the time.
Damn it, we better go slowly through this dungeon. 45 minutes of Flappy Bird.
Oh, love of God, that would be so terrible.
Either that or, like, we'll just download the Fidget Spinner app. We'll just play that for a while.
Cat piano.
It'd be fucking riveting.
So this next one, before we go on break, we'll talk about one more. This next one is the most literal pain. I don't even remember how I came up with the idea, but I thought to myself, you know what I want to do? I want to see Dan on a power pad.
The fucking stupid idea.
So we're playing from 5 to 7 on Saturday. We're playing World Class Track Meet for NES on the fucking power pad. And it's going to be the Olympics, so we're going to play every event. And I think you can go up to 8 players. Mm-hmm. So we're going to grab as many people that are in the room that are willing to participate. I believe by this time, the Fuggernaut will be with us. So we'll have Jonathan Fugger, you, me, Ferg, Evan, Dean. I don't know. Well, and anybody who's in the room. I don't even know who's going to be there at that point. But if I want to gather 8 people together to play the friggin' Olympics in world-class track meet and watch a bunch of overweight, out-of-shape people jumping up and down on a power pad. I think that's what joy is, Dan. I think that's what happiness is.
It's either joy or knee surgery. I'm not sure which one. Fucking knee surgery.
Ruptured. Evan's got downstairs neighbors too.
Oh, that's good.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah. We should warn them. We should invite them up.
I think Evan doesn't like them very much. So,
oh, well, so this is good then.
Yeah, I think he's kind of happy about this. So, world-class track meet.
Let's also cook curry.
Yes, the whole time. Oh, God.
Fuck you,
so
I love curry.
For anybody unfamiliar with world-class track meet, this was that stadium events game. This is the same game. This is what it was rebranded to when Nintendo released it themselves. It was a pack-in with the power pad, which is the mat you put on the floor and jump on. And it's like an Olympic-style game, and it's all running events. I mean, you know, you run, you jump, you do it all in place with these giant dots, and it's kind of great. I played the heck out of this game when I was a kid. I love busting this thing out. It is so ridiculous, and it's going to be a lot of fun to play this game with all you guys. Now, we do have... I did list this for 2 hours, because, I mean, there's all sorts of stupid shit that you can do in world-class track meet, but... Because I really don't know how long a full-on 8-player match of this game is going to take. I have no concept of how long that takes. So, if we do have time left over, we'll be playing Short Order, also on the power pad.
Mm.
Short Order is from Short Order and Explode, which is a single cart that has 2 games on it. And Short Order is basically Simon, except you have to play it with your feet. And you can't just... The get on your knees and pound it with your hands trick doesn't really work unless you've got really good balance and reach, because there's, you know, like Simon, there's 4 different things to choose from, but each of those 4 things is 2 buttons on the power pad.
Yeah.
So basically you're jumping, you know, on these different things while trying to remember how to assemble a hamburger for a giant pig. And it's...
God, it's
wonderful.
So,
I mean... Either way, this is going to be absolutely fantastic, because Simon, these memory games, at least to me, are a huge pain in the ass. I'm not good at them, and I feel like all of us taking turns while trying to build like a 99-story hamburger, like that's just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it's not going to go well.
Recipe.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Look at you.
That's why you're the host. Plan that. It is, because I just came up with that off the cuff. That's why I don't host any
podcasts anymore, Chris.
You just don't want to live in my shadow.
Your shadow is so, so long and so dark. It's not long shadow, but like you blot the sun, sir.
I've been told.
It is a staggering, staggering shadow.
So this is one of the things I am just most excited for about Saturday. I cannot wait to play Power Pad with a bunch of people, because I don't think I've ever done a full 8-player Olympics before. Even when I was a kid, I think the most kids we had over to play the game was like 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really, really jazzed about this, because it's going to be so stupid and so kind of competitive, and people are going to fall. Things are going to get broken. People are going to get broken. There will be tears. I'm excited.
Good times, great oldies.
Cool 98.3.
Thought it was 98.1.
I think it was 95.1. Was the 95.1 WAYV. They were the, like, light rock. No, that's light rock 96.9 WAYV.
What we're talking about, kids, is a radio, which is where you used to hear music. Like the Benny.
Back in the old days.
Like the Benny Giles Band. Miles
back
Davis.
When we used rotary phones.
Back when we only had 60 channels on our cable box. Oh, the dark ages.
Oh, we had to watch scrambled porn.
Oh, God. Is that a tit? Whatever. I'm pretending it's a tit.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of the games of the Pain in the Ass-a-thon. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, the latest World War II movie to hit theaters comes from the director of the Dark Knight trilogy, I believe that's how it's pronounced, and has earned high praise from critics.
Geekade's trilogy, Dan.
Trilogy.
It's trilogy.
Trilogy.
As my customers at Game Funko Land used to say, y'all got that Mortal Kombat trilogy?
No, sir. And or madam. No, we do not. Jesus. Christopher. Geekade's Chip Garrison believes that this three-part epic deserves every good word. I should have read further ahead. Geekade's Chip Garrison believes that this three-part epic deserves every good word said about it and does justice to the historical events whose story it tells. Find out what makes this story so special in Dunkirk, World War II through the eyes of Christopher Nolan.
Haven't seen it.
Everybody just talks in Batman voice, though. It's really... Even the women.
Everyone's got eye makeup and cowls on. It's really weird.
I'm going to fight Nazis.
It's perfectly historical. It's very historically accurate, except for that part. It was a very weird, weird choice.
Hitler's got a bomb. Oh, he's killing Jews.
And Hitler's just Bane from...
It would go very poorly for you.
You think Germany is your home?
I was born here, lived in it. Raised
molded by it.
Shaped by it. It's made me a man with a shitty mustache. Fuck, oh, I really God. Want to see this movie now. Is Thomas Jane Hitler in this movie? Wait, is Thomas Jane... It's not even Thomas Jane. What the fuck's his name? Thomas Hayden Church?
Tom Hardy? Thomas Hayden Church is Waluigi in Arms, the movie. Oh, God. Like, Thomas Hayden Church dressed as Waluigi isn't good enough. But with the fucking boxing gloves on his mustache.
Tangling off his shitty mustache.
This Thomas Hayden Church very dramatically saying, Wah!
Wah! Luigi! Jesus Christ. Oh, that's so much funnier if you know who Thomas Hayden Church is, which not a lot of people do. He doesn't get much work nowadays. It's a shame.
Jesus. Anyway, next. In today's fast-paced world of Thomas Hayden Church references, sometimes you just want an old-school beer, an easy-drinking American pale ale to watch Wings to.
Oh, hell yeah.
American pale ale. Man, I can't stop making Wings jokes. It was Thomas Hayden Church, but... There's a joke about Wings on Mystery Science Theater, one of the new episodes, just had me just freaking rolling. And it's not even that, it's not even very much of a joke. It's just like they kept saying, shut up, we're watching Wings. And they just sit there and watch Wings on the TV. It's fucking why? I don't understand. This is great.
Because Wings is great.
Wings is great. Let's see. An easy drinking American pale ale with an extra kick of hops. And what better game to play while drinking this beer than one that's all about moving forward and blowing shit up? Learn more about Dan's latest beer and video game pairing in Bits and Brews, Carton, Hot Pun, and Contra.
I love the name of that beer. I do. I love the name.
So should I be drinking that beer at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday while playing Contra with Evan?
Absolutely. It's relatively low alcohol. It's absolutely a breakfast beer.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Such a good name. hop pun, because there's so many breweries, and all of the breweries have, like, cute names for their IPAs and whatnot, and all their hoppy beers, and they were just like, no, hop pun. Get it? Funny. Fuck yeah, Carton. You guys are awesome. Finally, if you know anything about comics, you've probably heard about the recent Marvel storyline, Secret Empire, in which Captain America is a villain. A lot of people hate the idea, but welcome to the D-list, Jonathan Fugger has a different opinion. Click over to see him explain why he thinks this unpopular story arc is some of Marvel's finest work in shocking but satisfying Empire, located in the Think Tank.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com. We are back to finish talking about the games that we're going to be playing at the Geekade Pain in the Assathon in conjunction with the Colon Cancer Alliance, because as my friend Chris pointed out, everybody poops, but not everybody does it at their own volition.
Also with special guest Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah, Thomas Hayden Church.
He'll be there.
Big fan of the show.
Big fan of the show. I hope he is.
I want to make sure I get that I want to make sure I get that quote right. Chung.
What, big fan of the show?
No, his thing he said about everybody pooping, because it was very well done. Mm. Everybody poops. Not everybody poops on their own terms. There it is. So,
fun.
Yes, that's the tagline that we'll use next year. Anyway, so we left off at 7 o'clock, and from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday, welcome to the D-List's and the Mutant Musings podcast, Jonathan Fugger is going to be playing a game called Mega Man Unlimited for the PC. He asked me to play this game, like, I don't know, almost immediately after last year's Pain in the Assathon. He said that sounded like a really good idea. I don't know a lot about this, but I have heard that it is very hard. He told me that in order to finish the game, he'd need about 4 hours, so I gave him 3.
Because why not?
Because why not? And it's like it's a fan game. It's old school Mega Man, but made by a fan community or a person or something like that. I don't know the whole story behind it, but it looks neat. I cannot wait to see him play through it.
It's got some cool looking bosses.
It does. And he's going to be joined by, he's going to be doing the playing, but Patty, his co-host from Mutant Musings, is also going to be there. And the two of them have some very, very filthy mouths. If you've never listened to the Mutant Musings podcast, it's the kind of show that would make me and Dan blush. As far as the, I don't know if it's quite on Between Two Beards levels of profanity, but it's, you know.
We'll see, like, I edit myself on this. I constantly am thinking the whole time, how many times have I said fuck? Have I hit my quota yet? Like, I do. I have a little tally sheet. Like, I have a whiteboard right here next to the... I mean, I do,
keep
though.
An exact count.
You know, like, I try to keep it to a relatively listenable level of filth. And I feel like that's all going to go out the window on Saturday.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're bringing beer, right?
Probably. I was expecting Evan to provide it. He is the
true
host.
I guess you do eventually have to drive home, but...
yeah, well, you know.
I'll take a bus. So, Mega Man Unlimited with Jonathan and Patty. That's going to be a hoot. I like those two. I find them entertaining. And... I made Jonathan play Mega Man the Wily Wars last year, and he had a rough time with that. That was he offered to play Mega Man 1, which he always has had a problem with.
Because it's
hard. He's a huge Mega Man fan. Yeah, Mega Man 1 is hard. And he actually kind of blew through Mega Man 1 and the Wily Wars in his time allotted, So then you moved on to Mega Man 2, because Wily Wars is weird Sega Genesis remakes the first three NES games. And watching him continuously lose to Woodman was hilarious.
Who loses to Woodman?
Well, in Mega Man the Wily Wars, they changed him around a bit. You can't jump over his leaf shield when he throws it at you.
Well, that's just not
like,
fair.
It's pretty easy in the NES game. It's doable in the Genesis version, but it's way more... Like, you need to be pixel perfect to not take damage when he throws that leaf shield at you. It's kind of brutal, and it really did a psychological number on him, because he's like, you know, Mega Man 2 is the kind of game he could beat in his sleep.
Right.
But not anymore.
That sucks.
Not on Sega Genesis. It was weird. I freaking love Wily Wars. It's so bizarre. I love 8-bit Mega Man. I can't believe I'm going to get to chill out and watch somebody play through like a new 8-bit Mega Man game I've never seen before. Because as far as fan projects go, there are numerous fan Mega Man 8-bit games. But this one has a pretty decent reputation from what I've come to understand. So
yeah, this
I'm
one,
pretty jazzed about it.
This one's pretty well respected. So
indeed.
So right, let's get to the lightning round here. We are yeah. going long.
So closing out the day of Saturday from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., Dave and Genghis from the You Shall Not Pass Go podcast will be playing The Lion King for Super Nintendo. They have 2 hours to beat this fucking game.
I think you should amend that. They will be playing the I Just Can't Wait to Be King stage for 1 hour and 54 minutes, because it'll probably only take them 6 to get to that one, and they
if
will
even,
not get
that
past
first
it.
Stage. The Pride Rock stage is just, it's a joke. It's barely even a stage. There's nothing to it. And then it just moves right into that, you know, that monkey tossing game. And if you don't know what you're doing, that is really hard.
I don't know if 2 hours is long enough to figure it out, honestly.
I can't wait to find out. This was their request. They're like, oh, I want to play Lion King. I'm like, cool, go for it.
No,
I love that
game.
Go nuts. There was a time when I could just blow through that stage. Like, I just knew it. I got it down to the point where I just friggin' knew it. And that's not the case anymore.
Mm-mm.
I'm looking forward to watching somebody suffer through it, because it is always... Lion King for Super Nintendo is a very good-looking and sounding game.
It's just impossible.
It is. And it gets a little bit easier as it goes on. It was front-loaded with difficulty. Intentionally, as a matter of fact,
yeah.
It was front-loaded in difficulty. Like, I think we talked about that on the show. It was an interview with somebody who worked on the game a long time ago, and it came out that it was intentionally designed to be front-loaded with difficulty to combat the rental market. So look it up. It's a really fun story. So that's going to be a hoot. Now, for me, one of my favorite things about this evening is going to be from midnight to 4 a.m., I will be attempting to beat Zelda the Wand of Gamelon for Philips CDI. Last year, I beat Link Faces of Evil. It took me a little bit more than the 4 hours 4 hours allotted. This time, we're going straight to the walkthrough. Because there was a while there where I was just trying to figure out the game on my own. And
Which
when
it,
I realized
it
that
just
that was,
doesn't make any sense.
It's a complete exercise in futility.
Yeah.
So I want to get through this game. And I forgot to say, if they do wind up beating Mega Man, I'm pretty sure they're not going to beat Mega Man Unlimited. If they do wind up beating Lion King for Super NES, we are moving on to Mickey Mania for Super NES,
Ooh.
Which is also a very hard game, but very Disney themed. So I thought that'd be fun. And if I do wind up beating Wand of Gamelon in before the 4 hour time is over, I'll be moving on to Hotel Mario for the remainder of the time.
Good luck.
Yay. So Zelda Wand of Gamelon, one of the Unholy Triforce games, the absolutely awful, unbelievably awful Philips CDI Zelda games. I am so excited to play through this, because I had a blast playing through the Link Faces of Evil last year, because it was, I mean, it's horrible.
It's, oh, it's
very
awful.
Frustrating.
It's awful.
It's just a very poorly made game. And this one I have very little experience with. Like, Link Faces of Evil was the one I knew more about,
right?
Because it was the game with Link in it. And Wand of Gamelon came out same day, and it's just kind of this companion
piece. But stars
piece.
This it's, wand. named Gamelon. Weird.
It stars Zelda. I get to run around as Princess Zelda to save Link. And boy, oh boy, it looks a lot like Faces of Evil. It's essentially the same controls and everything. So it's gonna be a shit show.
Yes.
And I'm excited. How do you think I'm gonna finish it?
I think you will. You have a certain amount of dogged determination when it comes to this just utter nonsense. And 4 hours with a walkthrough from the very beginning. Because you're also playing it on the modded console, too, right? With the regular controller?
With a Super Nintendo controller, yeah. Yes.
I think 4 hours is enough time. What's Hotel Mario? No.
No, I mean, I think that has like a ton of stages in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that game's not terrible, but it's a little grating on your soul as you play it.
Yeah, so. it's garbage.
Yeah, it's garbage.
So, you know, there's that.
Yeah. So that's going to be a hoot. I'm pretty stoked about that. Then we get kind of an hour off because we are heading over from 4 to 5 a.m. We'll be transferring over to our friend Brandon from the Interdimensional RSS Unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
Live is via satellite.
Live via internet satellite over to Hawaii. Interdimensional RSS is the number one rated Rick and Morty podcast. That is a legit thing that is real. I think they're like number 40 overall TV podcasts on iTunes, mm-hmm. which is pretty awesome. Brandon and his partner Travis also do Apathetic Enthusiasm. We just have Brandon for the event, and it's just for an hour, but he is going to be playing The Binding of Isaac.
That game's...
Which I've never played.
It's ridiculous. It's a twin-stick shooter... that is so just twisted and weird and strange. And I could be wrong, but I believe it's procedurally generated. So like,
I've heard that
there is no planning for it. Like,
yeah.
And there's just weird shit in that game. It's very strange. Like rusty hypodermic needles or power-ups. We talked about it on the show a long time ago when it was a PS Plus game, but like, it's the game where your mother locks you in a closet and punishes you for not being Christian enough, and like, it's this really messed up game. I'm excited. I won't be up to watch it, awesome. But you know,
yeah. I mean, I'll probably be up because, you know, I don't know. I'll just be awake,
right?
Or maybe I will have passed out from exhaustion after
after Wanda came on.
I don't know. I don't know, but That's going to be fun. Brandon is always fun to listen to. I like his shows.
Yeah.
So big thank you to him for helping out. Then after that, we move on to the coveted 5 to 7 a.m. time slot.
Oh, it's the golden hour.
Bless Patty for taking this. So yeah. the tables will turn. Patty, Jonathan and Patty from the Mutant Musings podcast, this time Patty is playing the game, and she is going to be playing X-Men for Sega Genesis.
Which is awesome.
That was my request. I'm so excited. Not only is it hard, I don't know if she's actually physically going to be capable of beating it, because I believe there's a point in the game where you need to reset the game, and we're playing it on a Raspberry Pi.
Mm.
I don't know if you can emulate that.
That's
a pain
in the ass.
I just don't know if it works. It's fucking mean is what it is. So. I really don't know how this is going to go, but she's never played it before. And I am so excited because my buddy Greg got this game. He was my friend who had a Genesis when I was a kid. And man, I was so excited because I was a huge X-Men fanatic
and
back then.
It looked great.
It looked
sounded
great.
Like a
and
Genesis
the whole
game.
Soundtrack. This is the epitome of the Genesis fart noise soundtrack.
Oh, God,
everything
yeah.
sounds like it's coming out of an ass.
It's so metal.
Oh my God, it's so ridiculous. This game is friggin' cool, man. And like, you start off, it's all a simulation in the danger room that's gone mad, and I think Ahab's in it at some point, and oh my God, I cannot wait. Because these guys are X-Men fanatics, and I don't know that... I know Patty's never played it. I don't know if Jonathan's played it. And that's going to be hilarious to watch them go through this game
mm-hmm.
as huge X-Men fans and just be like, what the what the hell is happening right now. I'm so excited for that. I hope I'm awake for it.
I'll wake you up.
Thanks. Thank you.
No problem. No problem.
And then after that, we get the piece de resistance. This is what I was waiting for.
The 7-10 spot.
The 7-10. This is how we're closing it out, unless, of course, we reach our stretch goals. But the last official game that we will be playing, oh, by the way, if she does manage to beat or just physically get to a point where there is no progress left to be made in X-Men, mm-hmm. she moves on to Spider-Man and X-Men, Arcane's Revenge.
That's not all right. That's not nice.
That game's mean.
That game sucks.
Yeah, it's awful. It's just awful. So, yeah, from 7-10 a.m., Dean will once again be tackling Bubsy in Claw's Encounters of the Furred Kind.
Dean will once again lose his mind trying to beat that game.
Yep. I cannot wait. That was so much fun last year. Just the sadness. Like, he was pretty demoralized after Ghosts and Goblins. But
that's to be expected.
Yeah.
Like, Ghosts and Goblins is a game that's going to kick your ass, and you're kind of expecting it. But Bubsy was a game for children. Like,
it wasn't made
for hardcore gamers.
It's just poorly designed. There's a lot there are things to like about this particular Bubsy game, and it's the one and only half-decent Bubsy game.
Yeah, there's lots
Not even half. Like, third decent.
There's multicolored balls of yarn. Those are fun.
There's great music in this game. It does have a legitimately awesome soundtrack and some mechanics that are sound, but boy, oh boy. I mean, Bubsy gets a bad rap for a reason. The first game is an all right, you know, action platformer that is deeply flawed. And then everything that came after that kept getting worse.
Yeah.
Just worse and worse every single iteration.
The epitome of why we no longer have mascot games.
Yeah, it's like somebody made a game out of Poochie from The Simpsons. I have to return to my home planet now.
Goddamn Poochie reference. Oh, I gotta go watch some Simpsons now. Don't blame me. I voted for Coda.
I certainly feel like if Dean doesn't do it this time, this will be the third charity event that Dean attempts to beat Bubsy on. And I feel like it's just going to break him, and it's going to be so much fun
to watch. I hope it does. I love him dearly, but I hope this crushes his spirit.
Just beyond repair.
Yeah.
Just the And that's the great thing about this, is that if he happens to beat this game, and I know he has been attempting to practice it a little bit, because he's been at this for a while. Bubsy has been his nemesis for a good long while now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he does manage to beat Bubsy, he's flying right into Bubsy 2.
That's so mean. That's so mean.
It really is. And I thought about making him fly right into Bubsy 2 for Game Boy, which is... even worse.
That is worse.
But
much worse.
Nah, we're going with the Super NES version of Bubsy 2. As a small mercy, he can have the most playable version of Bubsy 2. Because emulating the Jaguar Bubsy game just wasn't all that easy. And I'm not bringing a PlayStation for Bubsy 3D.
No.
Next year, somebody's playing the Jaguar Bubsy game.
Oh. Nobody should play the Jaguar.
Fractured Furry Tales. Oh boy.
Oh boy. Because
you can't have a pain in the ass-a-thon without Bubsy.
I know. Well, we should have the new Bubsy game by next year, so
we should, but we don't know if that's gonna be a pain in the ass. We don't know yet.
It's gonna be.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
It's good.
But more people should know that there was a game between Bubsy and Bubsy 2, and it was Bubsy in Fractured Furry Tales. And it was freakishly awful.
Horrendously. It was haunting.
If you want to see a game with little to no redeeming value, it's that game.
Everything TJ Miller says to Deadpool in that scene when he first shows him what he looks like, those are accurate descriptions of Fractured Furry Tale.
Yeah, it's filth. of the highest order.
Filth and filth. Larm and filth and bleh. Yuck.
So, real quick, if we do have some stretch goals. So, for every $100 we make past $1,000, we will add another hour to the marathon for up to 4 hours, because we're only human. and the games that we have lined up are Eggsplode. We'll bust the power pad back out and play the other half of Short Order to Eggsplode.
Which is such a bad idea at that time.
Oh, yeah, but when we're all tired, like a game that's basically designed to make you fall over, shit's getting broken. Battletoads for NES.
Which is impossible.
It is impossible. If you're playing two-player, it is legitimately impossible to beat. And Overcooked on Switch, because that game multiplayer is really a delight. Just, you have to work together, and it's... Overcooked's amazing. I love that game.
I'll be watching.
I'll be there, crying. Looking forward to sleep at some point, which probably won't come.
No.
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's the pain in the ass-a-thon, broken down bit by bit. There is also an art auction going on right now.
For Evan some got really a bunch awesome, of, awesome pieces of artwork.
Yeah, Evan got a handful of comic book artists to... do some video game related art and put it up on eBay, and all the proceeds from that 100% we're going to personally cover the eBay costs. So every piece, every single dime that the final bid goes for is going to go towards our Pedathon goal. And like, there's a great Scorpion and Sub-Zero up there. There's a Rick and Morty Fallout 4 piece. There's
this really great Balrog that if and my birthday is coming up in October, so if anybody wants to, you know, bid on that and send it over to Geek8HQ, would be awesome.
So there's a bunch of really cool art up there. They were all donated to us for the cause, and I'm really excited about that. So check out all this stuff. Check out the links in our show notes, and come watch us suffer for at any point during the 24 hours this coming weekend.
And give us your money.
We will be suffering. Give the Colon Cancer Alliance your money. Don't give it to us. Don't trust us with your money.
No,
that's,
well,
that's
trust
a bad
me
idea.
With your money. We're from Jersey,
don't,
Chris. We're good with money.
Don't listen to Dan.
Nobody from Jersey has ever done anything shady with money. Ever.
No, never. No. Mac and Manco's Pizza. Shit's delicious. I don't care.
I don't even give a rat's patoot.
Not even one.
Not a single patoot has been given. I'm sorry if you hear giggling in the background. My children have come downstairs and they find they're listening to us record, which is, if you've noticed, my language has been cleaned up quite significantly.
A rat's patoot.
And they...
You scoundrel.
They have both found the word patoot to be exceedingly funny. It's also...
Well, to be fair... It is legitimately hilarious.
It is very funny. It is also 10 o'clock, and both of them should be in bed. But whatever.
Well, while Dan goes to figure that out, yeah. That's our show. Join us next week when Dan and I will be concluding our summer series with Karnov and Chris Dallas. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter @the_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm @Geekade Chris, that's Geekade KRIS, and Dan is @Geekade Patoot. I'm just kidding. What is Dan
at? I should be changing it to Geekade Patoot.
You should.
@Geekade Dan. See, this is the great thing about kids. I can just say patoot for like the next week, and it's going to be this that you can hear in the background. Children,
I like that you're telling them like to shush while I'm reading this thing. Like anybody listens to this part at all?
I know. I'm like that fucking guy, the BBC guy with his kids busting in. They're all doing some Darth Vader bullshit behind him while he's trying to record.
And the potty mouth is back. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to again in the show notes. Always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com, where we do lots of interesting stuff all the time. That's it, everybody.
Oh, I like that one, Chris. Stay with that one.
I didn't write it down. I've already forgotten what I said.
We do lots of interesting stuff all the time. I like that one.
All right, cool. Write it down.
No.
We'll say, no.
Just...
That's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.